This is where kind of the action begins. And in Matthew's account that we're looking at, he skips straight from Jesus coming out of the wilderness to traveling to his hometown in Galilee. And that might be because that's where Matthew was from. He was from Capernaum. So that might have been the first time that he encountered Jesus. So his story kind of starts from there. And he says that Jesus moved up to Capernaum. You can see it on the map there, around the little lake of the Sea of Galilee. And that's what Capernaum looks like today. Jesus moved up to Capernaum, and that's where he set up his base. Now, could you imagine if Jesus moved in next door to you, if you were living in Capernaum? That's a thought, isn't it? But anyway, Jesus sets up base, and then he began to teach from there. And Matthew says, Jesus went round and preached, "Turn from your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. It's at hand. You can reach out and touch it." And then he called his first disciples, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, and said, "Come, follow me." It's always an invitation from God. Come near, come near. Don't be distant. Come near. Come and follow me. And then he went round preaching and healing, and the news spread all about him. And Matthew kind of summarizes it at the end of chapter 4 with this bit here. And I'll just read it to you. It says, "Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of sickness and disease and illness. News about him spread as far as Syria, and the people began to bring him all who were sick. And whatever their sickness or disease, if they were demon-possessed, epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them all. And large crowds followed him wherever he went. People from Galilee, the 10 towns, Jerusalem, and from all over Judea, and from the east of the Jordan River." So you can see it's like action, 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 action. Go, 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 go. And the news about Jesus is spreading, and it's all getting very exciting. Now, this would be a good time to pause and catch your breath and look at a little bit, very quickly, at the author, Matthew, and how he tells the story of Jesus' life. Because every storyteller is a little bit different. And in Mark's gospel, and we've got some here, if you've never read the stories of Jesus, you can take one of these with you today and it's free. In Mark's gospel, he is like almost like a newspaper reporter, and Jesus' life is all in chronological order pretty much, and it's one story after the next. It's action, 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 action. Like, get to the point, what happened next? Whereas Matthew, he likes to pause as he goes through his stories. It reminds me of my mum when she would tell a story and say, "What did you do today, mum?" She went, "Well, I had to go to Cardiff," and then she'll stop to elaborate about the journey and other details. Whereas if I asked my dad, he'd just say, "We went to Cardiff, we did this, we did this, we did this, we came home." Different. So Matthew he moves more topically, and it's a bit like a tour guide. You know, if you go on like a city tour. So a couple of weeks ago, we went to Belfast, and the night that we arrived, our host gave us a tour of Belfast, and literally drove through the city and went like, "There's this building, there's this building, there's this building, there's this building, there's this building." And then a few days later, we had a few hours to kill, and there was this guy who'd invented a tram tour, and he was giving free tram tour rides to test it out. And so me and Elliot ended up being talked into going on it. And that went a lot more slowly when it went through the town. And when it got to like a monument, the guy would stop. "This is this monument." And then he would pull in stories from, you know, across history to explain what it was about. And that's what Matthew's gospel's like. It moves through the life of Jesus, but every time he comes to like a topic, like Jesus taught people, he'll pause and bring in examples from all across Jesus' life to illustrate how he taught. And then he'll move on the journey again. And you might say, "Oh, Jesus healed people." And then he'll maybe tell something that happened then. And then he'll pull in all sorts of other stories that happened to elaborate on Jesus healing people. Does that make sense? So as he goes through the journey. Okay, so our series is one of those pauses. And in this little bit that we just read, Matthew's mentioned how Jesus went around teaching people, and now he pauses to elaborate on what Jesus taught about. And this is how it starts. In Matthew 5, it says, "One day, as the crowds were gathering, Jesus went up to the mountainside with his disciples and sat down to teach them." And some people think it could be this mountain, which is called Tabgar, not far from Capernaum. And some people think that when Jesus taught, what Matthew records here is a collection of Jesus' teachings from across his life. And Matthew brings them all together. And maybe Jesus said some of them in one go, but Matthew's brought other examples in. Whereas other people think, no, actually, we think Jesus sat down and gave this teaching all in one go on that day. But because then he traveled around to different locations, he repeated some of the same topics there as well. And so that's why you find them elsewhere in the Gospels. But either way, we know that Jesus sat down and taught people. And he taught people all the time. And here Matthew's bringing some of those together. And as he spoke, the crowds were amazed. The crowds were amazed at his teaching. For he taught as one who had real authority, quite unlike the teachers of the religious law. And so then, why were people amazed, like we asked at the beginning? And I'm going to give you the three headlines. The first one is that when Jesus spoke, it was reality. He didn't withhold the truth from people, and his words had power in them. You know the phrase when people say, oh, that strikes a chord with me. Or negatively, sometimes people say, oh, that touched a nerve. And it's like someone's words were more than just words, but they've connected with something inside us. And sometimes we don't even know why, but we react to something. Something in our person has reacted to those words. Well, it was a bit like that with Jesus, but even more so, because Jesus' words are more than just words, but they're full of life. In Hebrews, it says this, the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. Cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow, it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. And when Jesus speaks, he speaks directly to the human heart. He speaks to our longings. He speaks to our purpose. It's not superficial or surface, but he speaks to like the blueprint of life. It's hearing the words of God. It's tasting the very thing that we were created for. That relationship with God. It's like having conversation with him. And as we hear his words, he starts to reveal the life that we were made for. And when Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is near, each one of us was created to live in the kingdom of heaven. And as Jesus speaks, it's like people are seeing it for the first time. And they're seeing and experiencing the very thing that they were made for, their true self, their inner person. That's why Jesus said, people need more than bread for their life. They must feed on every word of God. People need more than bread for their life. They must feed on every word of God. And this was the difference for the crowd. Because up to this point, they had just been living on bread. The bread of life. And that's what we can get from our daily lives, just in and of ourselves, on our own. You know, and a lot of that is, you know, it's good things like, you know, work and leisure and family time and enjoyment and, you know, food even, and all the things that keep us going through life and motivate us and stimulate us, and the things that we enjoy and help us to go through difficult times. All those things, the bread of life, and all those are good things. But even those aren't enough on their own. Because Jesus said, I have come so that people may have life in all its fullness. And there's a fullness of life that we can't get from the bread of life alone. And we get it from encountering God. And one of those ways is from the words of God. That's why Jesus said, people need more than bread for their life. They must feed on every word of God. And I remember for me the first time that I kind of experienced this and discovered this. And I was about 14, and I remember I wasn't driving, but my mum was driving in the car, and I was sitting in the passenger seat. And I remember saying to her, I know in my mind, and I know that God is real, but I don't feel like I'm experiencing anything. Like, I know it mentally, but I don't feel it in the reality of my life every day. And so that's where I was. And it was one of those kind of, you know, like a tipping point in like a 14-year-old's life where you're kind of making those decisions of, am I going to stay in, you know, all those kind of things. So that's where I was at. And then a little while later, I had this spiritual encounter. And what happened was a demon spoke to me. And that really took me by surprise. I wasn't expecting that. But that's like another talk maybe. But what I started doing after that then was, because I was a bit scared, a bit freaked out, but there's no need to be. I started to read the Bible before I went to bed every night. And I just read a little bit a day because I didn't really like reading. But as I started to read the Bible, it was like God began to speak to me and began to open up to me that there's so much more in life than I had thought about to that point. And it was like having a conversation. You know, if you meet someone for the first time and maybe you go for a coffee or in work, and as they're chatting to you, you're starting to learn about them, what they like, what their name is, where they're from, their interests in life. It was like I was having a conversation with God, and he was doing the talking, and he was telling me what he was about and who he was and his character and his faithfulness, and that he loved me and that he cared for me, and that there was more to life than just me, and there was more to life than trying to get on in school and play in the best football team and be popular with my friends. But there was something to live for that had purpose and that was lasting, and that there was meaning to life. And it was kind of opening my eyes. And it wasn't just like one day or one moment or one verse, but as I was just reading the pages a little bit each time, God more and more was revealing who he was to me. And it was an amazing experience. And it's quite hard to explain. And the only thing that I've managed to compare it to is John McEnroe. Now then, in John McEnroe's autobiography, he says that when he first started playing tennis, and obviously he was a very good tennis player, when he first started playing, he just kind of used to play the ball straight back. And there wasn't much variety in his game. But he said as he started to learn and train, he said suddenly one day when he was playing, it was like all the angles of a tennis court opened up to him. And suddenly he could see how he could play the ball this way or that way and with a bit of spin, and how he could open up the court and move his opponent around. And it's like he'd been playing tennis before and he'd been good at that, but suddenly he could see like a whole new way of playing tennis. And obviously he went on to be a great champion and one of the best tennis players in the world. And as I read the Bible, it's like God was doing that for me. It was like peeling back the reality that I knew and showing me God's big picture of life, that there's so much more and there's meaning and purpose, and there's God's got a plan for each one of us and for the friends and family around me. And it was amazing. And Peter had the same experience as well, one of Jesus' friends. There was a time when Jesus was explaining to people that he was God's son and calling people to follow him. And for some people, they enjoyed Jesus' miracles and like being entertained by that, but they didn't really want to follow him, so they started to abandon him. And Jesus turned to his closest friends and said, "Are you going to abandon me as well?" And then Peter said to Jesus, "Where would we go? For you have the words that lead to eternal life, and we know that you are the Son of God." And Jesus has the words that lead to eternal life. And it's as powerful then and it's as true then as it is for us today. And on that day, the crowd were hearing it for the first time. And that's why it was so amazing. But it's just as fresh and alive for us. I remember a few months ago when we went on the men's weekend and all the guys came together and we all read like a passage of the Bible and asked God to speak to us. And God spoke to every single one of the guys and spoke to something really personal in their life, and everyone was really encouraged. But it was different for every person. And God's words, Jesus' words, and the whole of the Bible is alive and it's living. And let me encourage you to get stuck into it. And if you find the Bible hard to read or you're not sure where to start, why not start with Matthew's Gospel, which we're going to be looking at now, or take one of these Mark's Gospels home with you today and you can keep it in the car or whatever and start to read it. And you only have to read a little bit at a time and ask God to speak to you. And as you do, you'll find, as you go through the pages, you'll find that God starts to reveal himself to you. It's a bit like, you know when you've got a song that you really like? And I like songs that maybe have a bit of meaning or a bit of a story to them, as well as like, in the club. But, you know, songs that have got a bit of something to them as well. And when there's a song that you really like, and you can start to kind of picture what the story's about, and you think, oh, yeah, I can imagine that. But then if you ever hear an interview with the artists themselves, and they tell you why they were inspired to write that, it kind of fills out the details, and you have a much more accurate picture of what the story was about. Well, it's similar when we read the Bible, because we can experience God in all sorts of ways, through prayer, and through being together, and through worship, and through talks like this, or healing stories like we saw earlier. There's lots of ways that we can access God, but when we read the Bible, it's like hearing him explaining it to us himself. So it's not just our own ideas and trying to get our own meaning from it, but we hear it straight from the artist himself. Does that make sense? Great. So why not start with Matthew or Mark? Now, I got 4 minutes, so I'm going to race through the others. Okay, number two is that Jesus was focused on others. He wasn't there for himself. He was there for the crowd. He was there for people. And this is what made him distinctive from the Pharisees and Sadducees. Because when they taught, it was all about maintaining their position. But Jesus, he came to serve. And so it was all about you. It was all about me. That's why he did it. skip screw. Okay, so Jesus said, for example, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. And Jesus gives everything away, and his focus is on us. And that marks him out, really, I think, from anyone in human history. Because even when, you know, I know with me, even when I think I got the purest of motives for something, like Jesus had pure motives every time, for everything. He was all a gift. It was all for us. Now, that is astounding. And because of that, we know we can trust him. Like, we really can trust Jesus. Like, we trust someone. They say that phrase, don't they? People don't care what you know until they know how much you care. Like, that's important to us, isn't it? We put our trust when we know that people have our, maybe our best interests at heart. But Jesus always has our best interests at heart. We can always trust him. And because Jesus' focus was on us, that allows us to put our focus back on Jesus and to follow him wholeheartedly. It says John, who was one of Jesus' closest friends, later on says this, and you can read it in his letter. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. And Mike was telling me a story the other day, how he's been coming along to church maybe about a year, and he's a few months ago, really enjoying it, finding out about God, asking questions, growing in faith. He wanted to be here, but his shift pattern and some family commitments he had was making it really difficult for him to be here on a Sunday, but he really wanted to. And then he heard in work that you could request a change in your shift pattern. But the only shift pattern that would work for him was like the most popular one, because it meant, you know, the weekends were a bit freer. And he'd heard that if you put in an application, it could take 2 to 3 weeks for them to process, and it was really hard to get. And then even if that you got it, then you'd have to wait for them to implement it with the contracts and all that kind of stuff. But he thought, well, this is, I really want to come along, so I'm going to do it. So he handed an application in on the Wednesday, prayed about it. They processed it on the Thursday and granted it favor and swapped his shift patterns. And then they put it into practice on the Friday. Isn't that amazing? And God, we can trust God. He is so faithful. Okay, finally, number three is action. Jesus did what he said all the time, always. So for Jesus, you know when people say, oh, it's all sizzle and no steak. When it's like, yeah, it's a great speech, great rhetoric, you know, but nothing's going to happen. All sizzle, no steak. That's not what it was like with Jesus. It was sizzle and steak. But Jesus, he looked at some real deep issues as well, some like really important stuff. And this is what this series is going to explore. Jesus spoke on life, relationships, money, power, authenticity, worry, giving, values, anger, priorities, ambition, and faith. Big things, not trivial things, important things, the stuff of life. This is what Jesus spoke about. And all of these things, what Jesus said, he actually did. And there was loads of times when Jesus was put on the spot, and it would have been a lot easier for him to kind of duck out of the things that he said, but he never did. And even on the cross, when Jesus was on the cross, and he says, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He even forgives the people who are nailing him to the cross. Jesus always did what he said. And so we know we can trust it, and we know that it works. It's like a real life hack, and we can put it to the test. And this challenges me, and it encourages me to put these things into action as well. And I think of my own life and the variation that can come. But when I see Jesus' life and how he always did what he said, it challenges me and encourages me to do the same. And so as we go through this series, we can be encouraged as well that we can put this into action and we will see it bear fruit in our lives because Jesus did it and it's real and it's reliable. And Jason was telling me earlier in the coffee time, he's been going on doing the Alpha course. And he said out last week or a couple of weeks ago, the guy who was speaking on the Alpha course, which kind of looks at, the Alpha course explains like what, who is Jesus and looks at those type of questions, big questions. And Jason was saying that the guy was asking, the guy talked about, he went into Sainsbury's and he paid for someone, he did something generous for someone, basically. I'm struggling with this story now. But anyway, the guy on Alpha did something generous for someone else. And after seeing that, Jason Ricky, who've been going to Alpha, thought, oh, we'd like to do that as well. So Jason said, he decided and prayed, and he decided that he's a taxi driver, that week he was going to give someone a free ride in his taxi, and that he would pray for God to show him who it was. And then he was working in Town Hill, and he got a call to pick someone up all the other side, the other end of the city, which doesn't normally happen. And so he drove all the way there, and when he picked up this young girl, he thought, oh, this is the person. And basically, I won't go into details, but she was having a real difficult time, and she was going to visit a family member in Swansea Prison. And Ricky, as he was driving, Jace, as he was driving, thought, this is the one. And just then, she said to him, oh, I've only got £4 on me. So when the meter gets to £4, just kick me out wherever I am. And Jay said to her, well, I tell you what if I just drive you all the way there and you don't pay anything because I want to give someone a free lift. And she's like, no. You say, no, just kick me out. He's like, no, I will. And he did. And she was moved and they chatted and, you know, she was crying and that really impacted her life. And then this week, they in Alpha Course, it was on prayer. And so Jay thought, right, I want to pray for someone in my taxi. And so as he was driving, he was asking God, show me someone that I can pray for. And then there was two ladies that he was taking to the hospital. And he felt God say, these are the ones to pray for. So he pulled upside of the hospital. Then they gave him the money. And then they got out. And he was like, oh, no, I've missed my chance. And he felt like gutted. But then he felt God say to him, no, do it anyway. So he got out of the car and prayed for them anyway outside the hospital. Isn't that amazing? Like hearing it and doing it. And that's just like what Jesus was like. What he spoke, he did. And we know it's real because he put it into action. And so over this series now, let's be encouraged to do those three things. To get stuck into Jesus' words and discover the reality of life that God has for us. And to know that Jesus is all about relationship and his focus was on us. And everything he did, he gave away. And it was all for us, not for him. And that is astounding. And then last of all, we can put it into action because we know we can trust it because it's real. So should we pray together to finish? Yeah, Father, I thank you that you sent Jesus, not because we deserved it, but just because you wanted to, because you care for us and because you love us. And just like the crowds were amazed at you, we're amazed at you as well. And I ask that, Holy Spirit, you would speak to us as we go through this series and as we look at the words that Jesus said, and that you would change our lives as well, and that we would be amazed like the crowd were. And Holy Spirit, would you help us to put into action these wonderful things that you have given us that will help us in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.